For our scripture reading, we turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to take note today, especially in that 28th verse, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, and so on. I'll read the chapter, Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this morning. In that passage, all the rest of the Scriptures are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 42. There we read, what doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. What doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ has redeemed you and me that we might labor in his service. And we were in bondage. Christ has set us free. We are to serve him. We're not our own. We belong to our Lord. We're cheerfully to serve him. Express our gratitude. And we're going through the Ten Commandments from that point of view. From the point of view of those who have been redeemed by Christ, who have been raised spiritually from the dead, who desire to express their gratitude. What would the Lord have us to do? And this Lord's Day speaks of the fact that the eighth commandment tells us that we are to be diligent at work, laboring faithfully that we may be able to relieve the needy. It's very contrary to what is characteristic of the world. But on the one hand, we see today such laziness, such dishonesty, and such selfishness that characterizes the world. Much time is spent on amusement. And in the workplace, there are many that don't do the work that they really should do and don't do it honestly. And in business dealings, there's much deception, selfishness, trying to take advantage of others. Our calling is to be, in contrast to that, diligently working that we may provide not only the things that, not only looking at our own needs and that we may be able to purchase food and things that we need, but also others. And you think of how that applies then also to the rearing of children. One of the tasks of the parents in the rearing of children is to give instruction about working, making good use of our time, And certainly that is a subject that often comes up. Some children are more quick to get going and to be working than others. Others need to be more encouraged that it's time to work. And how easy it is to be working for a little while and then quickly to quit. And to go back to some kind of amusement. Well, the Lord has given us gifts. The Lord has given you children gifts. He's given us gifts, whether we're younger or older. And we're to be diligent in the work to which the Lord has called us. We can easily get sidetracked. The Lord has work for us to do. And we're to show we enjoy doing that work. Each one of us, in his or her station and calling, to show we enjoy the work that we do, the work to which God has called us. And that when we work, we also have our mind on the needs of others. You can have a person that's very hard at work, night and day, trying to build up his own wealth, just from a self-centered point of view, concerned with his own riches, concerned with his own pleasure, concerned for his own name, that he shows himself to be successful. We're to be diligent at our work with our mind also on the need, our mind on the glory of God and the needs of others. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather do the opposite. Let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give. So not stealing, but giving, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We consider this Lord's Day under the theme, laboring that we might give. We consider, first of all, not stealing. Secondly, we consider but working. And thirdly, and giving, laboring that we might give. Let him that stole steal no more. Or let him that is stealing stop. There are many ways to steal. Besides outright theft and robbery. That's brought out in the Lord's Day, too. It says, God forbids not only thefts and robberies, which are punishable by the magistrate. He forbids those, but that's not, it's not only those that are forbidden by this eighth commandment. He says, but he comprehends under the name of theft all the different kinds of wicked tricks and devices that somebody might use to try to get the goods that belong to somebody else, to try to get some of his money, to try to get some of his goods. There's many ways that people try that. People can be dishonest financially with the books. Or people can take certain amounts, take a little bit here and a little bit there. One can steal, sometimes a person might steal from his employer. And perhaps in his mind he thinks, you know, I should get paid more anyway. This guy's taking advantage of me. Here he's, look how he lives. Look how much he has. He's not paying me what he ought. So if I take a little bit here, I take a little bit there, it's not noticed. Well, really, that's coming to me anyway. People in their own mind can try to reason in their own mind why it really isn't bad. And yet it's stealing. for stealing just a little at a time. That's in the sense of measurements. In dealings, always making measurements to your own advantage. That's the idea of these different units of measurements that's used when it talks about things like weights and ells, and ell is a unit of measure for cloth, weights, ells, measures, and so on, bringing out the idea that somebody can steal just a little bit at a time. So let's say they sell pieces of chain, say. Well, how much does they sell it by the foot or by the yard? And then each time it depends on if they're buying it or whether they're selling it as to whether or not it's going to be a little bit more or a little bit less. And you can apply that to all sorts of things, all sorts of ways in which one would try to take just a little bit at a time so that it likely would not go noticed. And if somebody did notice, that you could just quickly apologize and say, oh, sorry, you know, as if that was an honest mistake. When one knows what they're doing, the person they're doing it to would probably take it was just an honest mistake, say, oh, no problem. But then the person that's doing it knows what he's doing. And little by little, he's trying to turn things to his own advantage and taking from somebody else. And that's forbidden by the eighth commandment. We're not to take advantage of other people. Unsuspecting buyers and sellers is another example. Somebody's buying or selling and they don't really know the value of what we have. Say if we're selling, so we can overestimate its value, kind of hide the imperfections in it, and we can suggest it's really worth a certain amount when we really think it's worth less. That in fact, if we were buying it and we were talking to another person and we were buying it, we would argue it was worth a lower price. So it depends on whether we're buying or selling. We try to take advantage of people. It speaks of fraudulent merchandise as an example. And when we sell something, we're to show it forth as it actually is. We'd be quick to point out somebody else doing it to us. If somebody else was trying to sell us something as if it was better than it actually was, in a better condition than he says. We're not to take advantage of those who have less. Not paying them a fair wage if we are the employer. We see somebody in need of a job and we give them a job and say that the job market is such that it's harder to find a job. Person takes advantage of a person and doesn't pay them what they really think they should. Well, we're to pay a fair wage. Or usury, that's another way that's mentioned. Charging interest in such a way that one takes advantage of those in need. Covetousness, going to the root, the covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. That's how serious it is. Now, we all see that in ourselves. We can see things that other people have. And then we find we want them. And we see it in very young children. Very quickly we see the sinfulness of our nature, that if one child sees what another child has, then they quickly want that. That is so common, the scene of that. It could be the case that an object is just sitting on the ground for hours. But as soon as one child picks it up and is enjoying it, then the other ones can want to take that. They see that what that one has, and, oh, I want that. And all of a sudden, they're chasing each other around. And how quickly we look at what others have, and we see that we're by nature, we're covetous. And that's not small. It's not a small thing. We don't look at it and just say, well, I didn't take it from him. And just look at the external. But we recognize that we have to look at the covetousness itself and see it as idolatry. Think of the gamesters as is listed, you know, gambling. Another manifestation, perhaps starting small, gambling has become more common. That's another activity that somebody may start really small. And then if somebody says something about it, it's just such a small amount. And then it can be the case that it starts increasing as time goes on. The way we are to obtain the things we need, being diligently at work, working, not gambling. You know what happens to those that are greedy of gain? Proverbs speaks a lot about this subject. Rob not the poor, because he's poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Proverbs 22:23. He will spoil the soul of those who spoiled them. Remember the story of the man who built bigger barns. He's got so much stuff, he builds bigger barns, then he dies. Jesus spoke of those who lay up treasure for themselves. Laying up treasure for themselves. And the scripture speaks of those who trust in riches, as we just sang. We see this very much characterizes the world. And we recognize in our own business dealings, and some of us are more involved in business dealings than others in our work. Some of us, that's the large nature of our work, is we're in sales. Or we're busy buying products, or we're busy selling product, or we're marketing. Some of us are much more involved in that activity. Some of us may be involved in things that doesn't involve much the business aspect of it. The buying and selling aspect of it in others, but some, that's a big part of the job. And we can buy and sell. Yet we are to do it honestly. And as we hear what God says to us, promoting the advantage of our neighbor, we're to strive to do that in a way that is to show that we're really doing that and that we are, in our business dealings, we are honest. And we're doing our work and our business to the glory of God. And that others would also see that and know us as one who deals honestly with them in our business dealings. And we're to show our thankfulness. And when one has done that which is wrong, insofar as we all have, on the one hand, we're to constantly go to God and ask for forgiveness. With all of these different commandments, as we talk about the ways that the world violates us and how we by nature are like that, we're reminded of all our many transgressions of this commandment, that we're inclined to do the opposite of what is said here, there is forgiveness. And we're to come to God and ask for forgiveness, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And then we're to show in our life that we have truly turned from that and that we are fighting that, that throughout our life we're fighting our sin, that him that is that stole, steal no more. In the Old Testament, there was a law about giving back more. Somebody had taken something, they would give back more. You see the example of that like in the story of Zacchaeus, who said he would restore fourfold. Here in this verse, we have the instruction, steal no more, but what? The scriptures don't just say, stop doing that, but also say what we should do. That applies to parenting too. Not only telling a child, stop doing whatever they're doing that they should stop, but also telling them what they should do. And the scriptures speak that way to us. That God tells us what we should be doing, what's the opposite of what we're doing. That's important to consider. See children that are fighting. Tell them not only stop fighting, but also do the opposite. Well, what is the opposite? They're to show love for one another, concern for one another, help and assist one another. Here, love for one another is shown in that we work with our hands the thing which is good, that we may have to give to him that needeth. And now we turn to that subject of working. There's many that learn to be idle. There's quite a few verses on this. This subject is with other commandments. You talk about the seventh commandment, you just can find so many different verses on the subject. Well, it's also true with this commandment. From the viewpoint of stealing, many verses about stealing, ways people steal. There's also many verses about working and many verses about people that try to avoid working, learning to be idle. It's an interesting phrase, learning to be idle. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 13. Many learn to be idle. Get others to do it. Make excuses for why one can't do it and try to get others to do it. Some are good at telling other people what they should do, or good at finding ways in which other people will do work for them instead of them doing the work themselves. Now, there's times when we are exhorted by a brother or sister to let somebody else do that for you. There can be times when it would be good if somebody else was helping us, and we can be sometimes at times, no, I can do it myself. No, I can do it. And other people see our need and say, you know, just let somebody else do that for you. We want to help you. And there's times when that word comes to us. And there's also times when the word that needs to come to somebody, perhaps ourselves, is you can do that yourself. You don't need to be getting other people to do that for you. That can apply to children as they get older, that there can be things that they're having their parents do that really they can be doing that themselves. And it would be good that they were. We're to be making good use of our time. There's many verses on the slothful. And we have to beware of that tendency to be lazy. Spending much time on amusement. That certainly is a day in which we live. Person works for a little while, and then quickly they think, okay, I need a break, and then they take this long break. And it's important to see that in oneself. Like you can watch a child that's, say, studying. And if you just watch them at their work for a while, you see how they're studying for a small amount of time, maybe even less than an hour. And then the thought is, that was such hard work, now they're going to spend on a long period of time playing some game or something, or doing some kind of an amusement. As if now I worked so hard for this amount of time, now I need this long break. And for that to become characteristic of one, that they work a little and take these long breaks. And there's so much of a need that, oh, I've got to find some kind of an amusement. Something that's going to make me laugh. Something that's going to be what I'm going to be considering fun. And it's a great danger. There are times that we do things that we enjoy. There's times of relaxation. We have certain times when we stop the normal activities of the day and we relax together. Even then, while we're relaxing, we are to have our mind on what the Lord would have us do. Because even when we're relaxing, we can be saying, we can be conversing with one another. We can be encouraging one another. We enjoy fellowship time together. Have profitable conversation together. Well, we all see the tendency of the day in which we live and how much time can easily be wasted. We're to work diligently. And we're to yield ourselves to the Lord to work by His Spirit in us. There's a connection between this Lord's Day on working and the fourth commandment about resting, because that commandment says that we're to cease from our own evil works every day. We're to cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work. That's the idea of this working. I cease from my evil works. I yield to the Lord to work by His Spirit in me. And Jesus said, you know, people found fault with Him about the Sabbath day. A number of passages about that, like if He healed on the Sabbath day. One time Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." My Father worketh, and I work. We're to yield ourselves to the Lord to work by His Spirit in us. The Spirit works in us cheerfully to do the work to which we are called. He's given us work to do. and we're to work hard at our work, and we're to show we enjoy working. That it's a joy to labor. We come to recognize that and confess that too. That we enjoy the work to which God has called us. That we enjoy doing what God would have us to do. Each one of us, we have our station, we have our calling. And we're to show that in our work in the home, like the mother who labors in the home and shows that she enjoys that labor. As hard as it is, as exhausting as it is, she enjoys it. And that the husband and father shows that he enjoys the work to which he's called. There may be aspects of our work that we say, well, we really don't enjoy that aspect of it very much. There may be aspects of our work that are quite difficult, or quite stressful. Yet we know that God is sovereign. He's with us. He turns all things to our advantage. We learn to be patient. We learn to go to Him in whatever the difficulties are we're facing in the workplace. And that God grants us that which we need. He has in the past, and He will. We all have work to do. Even if it's the case that one can't get out of bed during the day, that one has something they can do. So far as they can communicate, say, they can talk with people. As they have opportunity to talk with people and to use their speech to God's glory, to speak to the glory of God. Of course, it can be the case that a person, as they get to the end of their life, isn't even able to talk. And yet they still, in their suffering, they're trusting in the Lord, waiting upon Him, looking to Him for what they need. And whatever our situation is, when we're laid low physically, maybe we're injured, maybe we can't go to the workplace for a while, maybe for a number of weeks, we recognize there's something worthwhile I can do during this time. What would the Lord have me to do? With the limited abilities that I have right now, what could I do? And to be diligent in that work. We're to work hard. Not only to be working, but when we are working, to be diligent at the work. We recognize the difference in that subject as well. You take the example that was given a moment ago about study. Well, an hour of study can be very different from one person to the next. If one person is very much applying themselves to their study, striving to learn the material, and another person that's not really all that interested in it, and they're quickly getting off track and distracted, and then they come back a little bit and they're reading it and they're really not paying all that much attention to what they're reading, we're to be diligent in what the work is that we're supposed to be doing at the time. We often have activities that we may not have chosen. Like when we're in school, there are some subjects that, well, we read with interest in those subjects, and other subjects we're just not interested in. But we see a benefit. God in His providence is having us learn these different subjects, and there's a benefit in us learning some things about the different subjects. We go to see that more. As we are older, we sometimes look back and say, I wish I had paid more attention in a certain class. Say, I really was never interested in that. Now as I'm older, I recognize more the value of that instruction. Sometimes a person can take up a subject again and as an adult and be amazed at how much they learn in comparison to what happened in school, because now they're really applying themselves. Now they're really studying it, wanting to learn. Well, we're to be diligent in our work. It can be the case that whatever our station and calling is, whatever our work is, that we could be more diligent at that work than we are. We could continue to be striving to improve. Diligently working, using our gifts. Doing our own business. Not a busybody. Laziness can go with being a busybody. But being diligent in our own work, laboring as stewards, that's a term we use with the Eighth Commandment, that we're stewards. When you talk about the Eighth Commandment, one of the words that will come up frequently is stewardship, which means everything that we have is God's. A steward was one who would take care of that which belonged to somebody else. And everything that we have is God's, that we're all use everything in His service. And we're to do it faithfully and diligently, and to show our thankfulness to God. God has given you gifts. And you and I are to make use of our gifts, to appreciate the gifts of others, and to express that we appreciate the gifts that others have, and also to be using our gifts in His service cheerfully. And doing so, desiring to give to others working with his hands the thing that is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. As was mentioned, you can have a person that is very diligent in their studies when they're a student. And then when they get in the workplace, they're very diligent in learning the different aspects of the work and continuing to improve on areas where they're weak, looking for others to guide them. They continue to get better. People are noticing, and yet their motivation could be self-centered. They want to be successful. They want to have all these things. So they work very hard. Perhaps they were instructed that way. You know, you work hard, you're going to get ahead. And people just looking from the viewpoint of all that they can obtain for themselves, and then, you know, they can always occasionally give to different people, and then they feel better about themselves. They give a little bit here, they give a little bit there. Maybe find opportunity to make sure that their donation is noticed. Somehow it's said that they gave to this cause, they gave to this cause, and the people are aware of it. But being self-centered, we're not our own. We've been redeemed. We belong to Christ, our Lord, who has saved us from our sin. By nature, we're all that way, selfish. Christ has died for us. He works by his Spirit in us, and we have a desire to work faithfully, and our mind is also on the needs of others. We want to relieve the needy. Christ, though he was rich, yet he became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich. We remember the sacrifice of Christ. And that's to manifest itself in our dealings. And that's part of that's shown in promoting the neighbor's advantage. Laboring and concerned that we might give, we're thinking about others. We're thinking about others when we're thinking about our employees. We're thinking about others when we're thinking about our customers. We're thinking about others when we're thinking about how we can give in the to the causes that where we take offerings. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's referred to in Acts 20, verse 35. Not necessarily more dollars. The scriptures teach that too. We don't look at it from the viewpoint of the dollar amount. A person may give a large dollar amount, but that person may have an enormous amount of wealth. And another person can have very little in comparison. And give, and although it seems from the dollar amount, the amount they gave was little. Where from the heart to give is, the Lord has prospered us, and make good use of the funds that we have. We're to be content. Another word comes up with regard to the eighth commandment is content. The opposite of being covetous, content. Content with what we have. True contentment is not found in the world. You don't see that in the world. Nobody in the world is content. Not really. True contentment is only found in Christ. We're thankful for our salvation. We recognize that we're rich. We have all we need. We have Christ. We have fellowship with God. We have everlasting life. God will never leave us nor forsake us. We have all we need. He will always provide for us as we go through each day, whatever we may face. He always has. We're to be content with what the Lord has given us. You know, our Lord said, if you have food, you have raiment, be content. Well, we can find we want so much more than that. Other people have so much more than that. We're to ask the God for the grace. The grace we need, that we may show forth, that we may be content, and that we may show that in our dealings with others. We may show our thankfulness, that we may give to others, see the needs of others. There's lots of different causes today. In addition to the general fund and the benevolent fund each week, there's a lot of different causes that we give for. We're stewards, and each one of us knows what we have. We're to make use of what we have wisely.
to the honor of our God. And when we give, we're to give cheerfully. Those that are younger and those that are older, that also the children giving. And that's a beautiful thing, too. See that, by the grace of God, we do see that, too. We see that in children. A child that will want to give. By nature, we don't want to do that. But a child that gets something and also thinks, I would like to give this. We're to learn to make good use of what we have, and when we give, cheerfully give, also as a child, remembering how rich we are in Christ. When we talk about our only comfort in life and death, that we're not our own, we belong to Christ, we say that God, that Christ works within us by His Spirit, that we are sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. Sincerely. The Spirit works that in us. We're to yield to the Lord to work by His Spirit in us. And may we glorify our God, being diligent in our work, expressing our thanks to Him in all that we do to His glory. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we're thankful, O Lord, for the grace that Thou dost give. We are thankful for the comfort that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're sorry for our many violations of this commandment and the others, and we are so thankful that Christ suffered in our place, and that as we go to Thee, we know Thou dost forgive us, and we know Thou wilt grant us grace to do the work. We are thankful for the work of Thy Spirit within us. We know we're not our own. We belong to our Savior. May we remember that as we go through each day. May we use our gifts, use our possessions rightly to Thy honor. Grant this grace to us. Grant it to our children. Grant it to us as we are older. May Thy name be praised by all Thy saints. For Christ's sake, amen.